Good morning. I will be describing a study that looked at trends in herpes zoster incidence from 1993 to 2006 using a large medical claims database, which is one of the examples of sources of surveillance that Raphael described. I would like to acknowledge my collaborators listed on this slide, in particular Dr. Raphael Harpaz. Raphael already gave a very thorough background on some of these points, so I'm going to skip the top portion. But I will want to mention again the bottom two points, because they are important for understanding our study. There's a theory that exposure to varicella zoster virus, or VZV, may reduce the risk of developing zoster. Several studies have suggested that close household or occupational exposure to VZV may reduce the risk of developing zoster. It is thought that VZV-specific immunity may be boosted by exposure to varicella, which is termed external boosting, and may possibly prevent reactivation of VZV. There has been some concern raised that the zoster rates may be influenced by the varicella vaccination program, specifically that decreased varicella disease from the vaccination program may lead to increasing zoster rates. Several studies, as Raphael has already mentioned, have already found increasing age-specific zoster rates, and some have attributed this to increasing, have attributed these increasing rates to the varicella vaccination program. The primary objective of the study was to evaluate zoster trends from 1993, prior to the licensure and widespread uptake of the varicella vaccine, to 2006, the year that the zoster vaccine was licensed. The information will help us to better understand the impact of the varicella vaccination program on zoster rates and will help us to establish a baseline to monitor the impact of the zoster vaccine program. Secondary objectives included determining whether zoster trends are due to changes in the prevalence of immunosuppression and to determine if exposure to varicella or surrogates for exposure may reduce the risk of developing zoster. Our study population consisted of enrollees from the MarketScan databases, which contains information from claims data for over 100 self-insured employers, health insurance plans, state governments, and Medicare. The data represents millions of employees, retirees, and their beneficiaries from all states. The study period was between 1993 to 2006 and was based on the availability of the MarketScan data at the time of analysis. The types of available variables include demographics, dates of service, ICD-9 diagnostic codes, employment information, health insurance type, and medications. To determine zoster incidence, we searched for all enrollees with an outpatient zoster ICD-9 diagnostic code listed as a primary or secondary diagnosis. The denominator consisted of the annual enrolled MarketScan population, and annual incidence was reported as cases per 1,000 enrollees. To validate that these trends in zoster we were seeing were not due to changes in access to care, health-seeking behavior, makeup of the enrolled population, or changes in the databases themselves, we compared zoster rates to rates of 10 other common, acute, self-limited conditions in which individuals would likely seek outpatient medical care. To look at the impact of varicella vaccination coverage on rates of zoster, we compared zoster rates in enrollees living in states with high versus low varicella vaccine coverage. Vaccine coverage status for each state was based on whether their annual varicella vaccination coverage was always greater or always less than the annual national median coverage, based on data from the National Immunization Survey for 19 to 35-month-olds. We also looked at the impact of sharing a household with children 12 years of age and younger to determine if exposure to varicella disease affects rates in zoster. To do this analysis, we compared zoster rates in enrollees 20 to 50 years of age who did or did not have at least one dependent 12 years of age or younger, using this as a surrogate for exposure to varicella disease. Several other studies in the past have used residents with children as a surrogate for exposure to varicella disease, and some of these studies have found lower incidence rates among adults living with children. If exposure to varicella does prevent zoster, we would expect lower zoster rates in adults living with children prior to widespread varicella vaccination coverage, with converging rates as vaccination coverage increases. Moving to results, this graph shows zoster incidence by age for 1993 to 2006. The data represents almost 300,000 cases, with 97% coded as the primary diagnosis. The first arrow indicates when varicella vaccine was licensed in 1995, and the second arrow indicates when varicella vaccine coverage reached almost 70% in 2000. The six colored lines represent the six age groups shown in ascending order, with the youngest age group at the bottom shown in blue and the oldest age group at the top shown in dark red. You can see from this graph that zoster incidence increased with increasing age. This graph also shows that zoster incidence increased across the entire study period for all age groups, with increases noted even in the earliest part of the study from 1993 to 1996, before there was widespread varicella vaccination coverage. Increases during that period were also statistically significant. Although you may not be able to see this in the graph, the rates of increases themselves were also highest in the earliest part of the study period, and they declined over time. Together, these data do not support that the varicella vaccination program attributed to increasing zoster rates. I also want to highlight zoster incidence in those 0 to 17 years of age, a group that is targeted for varicella vaccination. If you look at the smaller graph on the right, you can see that zoster incidence dramatically increased in the earliest part of the study period, but then stabilized around 2000. This data supports other studies that show that persons who receive varicella vaccine who are less likely to develop wild-type varicella disease are also less likely to develop zoster. This graph is similar to the one you just saw, except it shows zoster incidence stratified both by age and sex. The bold lines represent incidence in females, and the finer lines in the same color represent incidence in males. For all age groups, we found that incidence in females was higher than males. This has been shown in most, although not all, studies. However, this does not support the hypothesis that exposure to varicella protects against developing zoster, since most women in our society are more likely to be caretakers for sick children and therefore more likely to be exposed to varicella. The fact that we are seeing higher rates in females than males for all age groups, including those less than 18, suggests that this is a real phenomenon and not due to differences in health-seeking behavior, since it is unlikely that parents would bring their children to seek medical care based on gender. As I mentioned in the methods, to control for secular changes such as changes in access to care, health-seeking behavior, or changes in the databases themselves, we compared zoster to 10 other pre-selected conditions listed here. This graph shows that the number of zoster cases increased relative to 9 out of 10 conditions, which provides strong evidence that these increases in zoster are not due to artifact. It was also important for us to evaluate whether these zoster trends were due to changes in the prevalence of immunosuppression, which is why we conducted an analysis on zoster rates, excluding enrollees with immunosuppression. Shown here are gender-specific crude and age-adjusted rates to the 2000 U.S. population. The continued increases that we are seeing suggest that these increases in zoster are not attributable to changes in the prevalence of immunosuppression. Next, we looked at the impact of varicella vaccination on zoster rates, and we found that zoster rates were similar in enrollees living in states with high versus low varicella vaccination coverage, which does not support the hypothesis that the varicella vaccination program is responsible for these increases in rates. In this last graph, we compared zoster rates in adults 20 to 50 years of age with and without dependents 12 years of age and younger, using this as a surrogate for exposure to varicella disease. We found that adults with dependents 12 years of age and younger, shown in the blue line, had lower zoster rates. However, one interesting thing we found was that these rates converged over time, as would be expected if household varicella disease exposure declined with increasing vaccine coverage. So the three main points to take home from this study are that we found that zoster incidence increased over time for the entire study period from 1993 to 2006, and these increases involved all ages and both genders. We also found that these increases in zoster incidence preceded the licensure of the varicella vaccine and were actually most rapid when varicella vaccine coverage was lowest. Some other key findings from this study are that we found zoster rates stabilized in children less than 18 after 1999, suggesting that groups targeted for varicella vaccine may be at lower risk for developing zoster. We also found that varicella vaccination may possibly have an impact on subgroups such as parents of young children who are at higher risk of exposure to varicella disease. Lastly, in our study, we found that these increases in zoster were not due to changes in the prevalence of immunosuppression, nor were they due to artifacts of changes in the database, the study population, health-seeking behavior, or changes in access to care. There are a number of key limitations in this study. Because we use claims data, we were only able to capture data on individuals who seek medical attention. However, one study suggests that most persons with zoster do seek medical care. We were unable to validate this administrative data using chart review, although several studies suggest that claims-based zoster case finding using ICD-9 coding is reasonably specific. We used varicella vaccination coverage as an ecologic measure, which was based on group-level data as opposed to individual-level data. And lastly, dependents 12 years of age and younger served as a surrogate for exposure to varicella disease. It is possible that some of these dependents may not live with enrollees, or we may have missed children in the home that are not covered by the enrollee's insurance health plan. However, it is unlikely that any of these above factors would be changing over time in a way that would produce strong biases. If it is not due to immunosuppression or the varicella vaccination program, then what is causing these large increases in the zoster incidence? This is related to a broader question of why only 30% of persons infected with VZV experience zoster during their lifetime. It is likely that there are other key unrecognized risk factors that exist for zoster, such as chronic illnesses, trauma, stress, race, or family history. However, it is unlikely that much of zoster is attributed to these factors, and it is also unlikely that these factors are changing dramatically over time. It is important for us to gain a better understanding of the pathophysiology and epidemiology of zoster to develop more effective prevention and treatment strategies for zoster. Thank you.